You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
This is awesome. A full house on a three-day weekend, and it feels like it's Florida. Come on now. I love that we could sweat together. You know, that's when you're real family, right? Man, if we've never met, my name's Derek. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's so good to be with you. I missed you desperately last week. It's so funny. I love the idea of rest. I love to get away. I love vacation. You're going to hear all about it in a minute. But man, every time I'm gone from being together on a Sunday, I just miss you guys dearly. But what was so cool was to be able to watch online and hear Sam Dula bring the house down, which, by the way, today's his birthday. So let's give it up for Sam. What a gift, man, Sam and Tina, to have you guys as part of our elder team and to get you guys up here and just do what you do. It's just such a gift, man. Thank you for that. If you guys were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, go back and listen because, man, it was such a message that we need to hear that church is not like family. It is family. And I love that idea of what we're trying to build and do together. And it's just this concept that this is about being family. You know, this week, Pastor Mark and I, we were on a vacation, kind of. It was amazing. It was much more of an adventure than it was a vacation. And I think there's a totally distinguishable thing between those two things, right? Like a vacation, cool, relaxed. Adventure, not so much. The fact that we're home standing with no broken bones is amazing. But we just had this incredible trip. Some dear friends of ours invited us to their home up there. And we had a boys' trip, five of us. And we were dirt bike riding through the most beautiful part of the country I've ever been in. It's Pender Harbor up in like north of Vancouver in Canada. And just this absolutely stunning, breathtaking stuff I had never seen before. Any Young Life kids in the house? Any of you guys been to Malibu? Yeah, a couple of you. You need to get there. That's the hood we were in. It's not hood, trust me. And we were just adventuring every day. And I remember going into this trip really just kind of thinking like, man, I hope this old dude that's inviting us up there could keep up with us. Because Doug, you know, it's like there's a bunch of young hotshots like us who are going to just show this guy what it's like to really ride motorcycles. And we get there the first day. And we literally, you take a plane to Vancouver, you get on a seaplane, it's the coolest thing in the world, and you land in this beautiful bay, and we barely get off the plane, and Doug's like, let's go ride, let's go. And I'm like, we all kind of look at each other like, can we just kind of ease into this whole thing? And where are we going? He goes, up there. And I'm like, you are out of your mind. So we passed the first day, and then it just, the whole week opened up after that. But, you know, as I was thinking about the week that we had, this kept coming back to me, this difference between adventure and vacation. Right? How many of you just loved a vacation? You love it. Who doesn't, right? How many of you love a real adventure, though? Yeah? I love that. Adventure is this thing that has always been kind of at the core of humanity. And it looks really cool on Instagram now, right? We have walls that say live adventurously or adventure awaits. And we have really romanticized adventure. But adventure has been something that's been at the core of humanity from the beginning of our existence. It's the reason that we have been able to pioneer and to step into new territory. And man, we have it just so easy compared to the ones who've come before us. And I think we misunderstand what real adventure means because particularly I think it's because we are each wired differently, right? For some of you, adventure means like throwing a pair of underwear in a backpack and jet setting across the world with no plans, nothing in line. And that's like the most adventurous thing you could do. And others of you are uncomfortable in your seat thinking about that, right? You're like, no. I got the Lonely Planet, I did all the Google, I flew over it on Google Maps, checked it out on Google Earth, I know my path, right? How many of you are the ones that like, no plans, let's just hit the road and go? Just give me a shout, okay? How many of you are like, I'm good with that, you could have the diarrhea and all the crazy stuff, I'll figure it out before I go. How many of you, give me a whoop? Okay. The funny thing is that you both chalk it up as adventure, right? We're going to go on this adventure. And, you know, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but I think you're wrong. If you were going to plan it out and plot it out and have it all detailed, that is no adventure, right? That's a vacation, and that's cool. But it's interesting. We're each wired so differently, but I think the one thing we know that's true about adventure is that along with it is going to come some moments of extreme discomfort. Right? If it's a true adventure, there's going to be some pain in the process. Now, for some of you, it's just Montezuma's revenge, but for others of you, it's just something that you did not anticipate. And so for some of you, the pain is just your plans didn't go as planned. But for others, it's you're experiencing something you did not expect. What I did not expect this week was to be completely outridden by a 58-year-old dude who made me look like a schmuck. And we're like, all right, let's go. We finally go for a ride. And I'm used to desert riding, like wide open. Look at me, I'm cool. Doug takes us not on trails. He takes us on mountain bike trails with planks of wood that are like this skinny and turn 90 degrees in the middle of them. And it's like, Mark and I are looking at each other like, what did we get ourselves into? And you know, you get into the moment where first it's just unexpected, and then all of a sudden it's just humiliating, and then it's just frustrating. And in the middle of it, you want to throw your sucker in the ground and be like, I quit, until Doug's like, go ahead, but there's no other way back. And I remember we got to this one point where it was like, dude, this is way sketchy. This is way over our heads. There's got to be like a fire road or something that takes us back. And Doug's the only one with the GPS. And he's looking at it and he's like, nope, there's no other way back. We got to go back the way we came. And we're like, no, dear God. But we did it. We did it. And I think that's the interesting thing about adventure is that you'll find yourself in these moments where it's just absolutely troublesome and uncomfortable, and you might not think you can make it through it, and you hate it in the moment, but when you look back on the adventure, you're like, man, that was all part of the process, right? But you can't say it when you're in it. I love the word in the divine, in the dictionary. It says, this is what adventure is: an undertaking or enterprise of a hazardous nature, an undertaking of a questionable matter, an unusual or exciting experience, participation in hazardous or exciting experiences. Mark, that's what we did this week. We participated in hazardous experiences. But when you're romanticizing adventure, you don't really think about all of that. You don't imagine that the painful, uncomfortable part of it, but it's always there. You know, some of us are wanderlust, and we actually like that part of it. It's something that we enjoy, and we like delicacies, and we like just pushing the envelope and trying things that are outside of our comfort zone. Some of us are wired that way. We actually like to be uncomfortable. Some of you are like, I like yoga, but I'm really not going to understand yoga until I experience it like in India, where it all originated, right? And so you have to like jet set and go to India and experience yoga. But others of you are like, nah, I'm gonna stay here, right? Like, you're like, this is good, right here. And you're not into the like full-blown experience. It's interesting to me that we could be wired so differently, yet I think there's something intrinsic in all of us, regardless of the way we're wired. And it's that each and every one of us have this longing, this need for destiny. There's something beckoning us, drawing us. There's progress to be made in our life. There's movement that must happen. And along with destiny comes this idea that there is a destination, that there's a place that we're trying to get, whether it's a goal or a dream that you're aiming for in life, or it's a promotion at work, or it's the kind of character that you want to build. There's this thing that we're aiming for. And I love, you know, the old saying, like, it's not about the destination, it's all about the journey. Bull crap. Like, the journey's awesome, but if you never wind up somewhere, it's awful, right? Like, if you're just lost the whole experience of your life, like, it's like we're driving somewhere. And it isn't until you actually get there that you can look back on the adventure and say, that was all for something. But this destiny thing is what's driving us to experience something often outside of ourselves. And the novelty of adventure, it could be consuming, it could be beckoning, it could be calling us, but the reality of it is just plain out uncomfortable. And I think God loves to take us on adventures. God loves to bring us along the journey. Well, quite simply because it's the only thing that's going to allow us to get to the place where we'll be prepared for and enjoy the destination. If you look in the scriptures at Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham and at the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way by night, in a pillar of cloud of fire, but to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. On our trip, the pillar of cloud was Doug leaving us in the dust, and that was like our cloud that we followed the whole time. But I love this passage that talks about them experiencing something they did not expect. Have you ever been irritated with God because he doesn't take you from A to B? Like, I just need to get to that side of the room. But when you go with God, it's never that clear of a path. It's like the quickest way for them. Anyone like to get there the quickest way? You love efficiency. You like to get there quick. You like to get there fast. Yeah, when you go with God, it doesn't go that way. It says they came up out of Egypt ready for battle, and they could have gone right there. But instead, God took them the long way around. God took them the long way around. I remember when I was pursuing this dream of mine to become a fireman, and it's something that kind of completely took over my life, and I just was just aiming for the stars, and I wanted to be a fireman, and I did everything I possibly could. And I remember the department that I dreamed of working for was the San Diego Fire Rescue Department, because I lived in Fresno. If you've been to Fresno, you'd know why you'd dream about working in San Diego. And I remember I worked as a wildland firefighter for several years, and my goal was to get to a municipal fire department. And I remember coming down, and I took the test. You have to wait for them to be testing. I took the test, and after I took that one test, I tested for 2 more years in a row with 22 other fire departments, 22 departments over the course of 2 years. Every single test I took. And then 2 years later, I got a phone call from the first test I ever took with San Diego and got hired. And I remember thinking, God, that is not the most direct route. Like, I could have like just played for 2 years, but instead I did all of this testing and studying. And I think this is exactly the place that God has the Israelites in this story. It says that the Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. It says that they were ready for battle. But God did not want to take them through the Philistine land because he knew they were not ready. They knew they were not ready. It's funny how many times we can think to ourselves, we're ready. We're so prepared. And God could say, no, you're not, but I'll get you ready. Let's take the long way. See, because when I tested with the San Diego Fire Department, I was like 21 years old, still eating boogers and didn't know what to do with my life. And I believe that long way round is what prepared me to be a San Diego City firefighter, taking all of those tests and going through the gauntlet of that is what prepared me to be a successful San Diego City firefighter. And this is where the Israelites are at. It says they come up out of the desert ready for battle. No, you're not. You've been slaves for years and years and years. What would make you ready for battle? They were far more prepared to be wanderers than they were to be warriors. And God looks at them, and I could just imagine the humor of God laughing and being like, no, no. No, we're going to go the long way because it's in the journey on the long way that you're going to learn what it's like to become a warrior. You are not ready to go through the land of Philistines because they will kill you. I remember we were on this one dirt bike trail that I finally decided I'm going to record our path on my GPS. And we rode for hours. We rode for like 4 hours. And we were obliterated at the end. We were like, I don't think I ever want to see a dirt bike again. We got back to the truck in one piece and we were like, I'm done. And I pulled out my GPS and I was like, we surely have gone for like miles and miles and miles. 4 hours, 14 miles. 14 miles in 4 hours because we were going slow through the gnarliest, craziest, and we were falling a lot and wrecking a lot and breaking the bikes a lot and stopping to fix them. And it was in that journey, in the adventure of that, that Doug knew what he was up to. He was making us grow up, become men. And by the end of the trip, we couldn't wait to get back on a bike. But 2 days in, I was done. I was like, this guy's gonna kill me. And I think that this is what God is up to in the long way round. In the long way round, God is preparing us for the destination. God has something so good for us that if we get there without going through the gauntlet, we won't even know what to do with it. We won't even know how to handle it. We'll be ill-prepared to deal with it. And so God has to prepare us along the way. God wasn't freeing them from the struggle of slavery. He was freeing them for the struggle of freedom. See, because the struggle is real, right? Like no matter what, we're gonna struggle. The struggle is real. We think if I could just get that, I won't struggle no more. And then what happens? You get it and you keep on struggling. The question is, what are we struggling for? Are we struggling in our slavery or are we struggling for our freedom? And I think this is the place that we can find ourselves here, not only individually, but collectively as a church. There are great things that we know God has called us to. There's this destiny. There are these dreams that we have, both individually and collectively. There's a path that we know we need to take, but if you get a taste of it, if you get a taste of how difficult it is and how hard it might be, well, it's easier to retreat. It's easier to retract and say, no, I'm good with this. But if we stay where we are, we will never step into the future that God has for us. In Exodus 14:10, this all begins to take shape. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. Now keep in mind, if God hadn't taken them on this path, they would have looked up and they would have been facing the Philistines in about 3.2 seconds. But God had already spared them from the Philistines. He had taken them the long way around, and now they look up and the Egyptians are pursuing them. They're terrified and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? I said that a few times this week. Is it because there were no graves in San Diego that you brought us to Canada to die, eh? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still. We love that word. We love that idea. Like, that's a ticket to kick it. Like, I'm going to just be still and watch what God will do. You ever tried that? You just retreat and you wait and you pray and you ask and you're like, God, I'm looking for you in the thunderstorm. I'm looking for you in the whisper. God, where are you? And the moment we stop, the moment we retreat, is the moment that we will stop hearing. Because Moses was wrong. Which, by the way, is a good point. Leaders will be wrong a lot. We love that word. We love that word. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I love verse 15. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Don't stop reading the text. We will sell ourselves short. We'll read that passage. We'll get a tattoo. Just wait and be still and watch what God will do. If you have Exodus 14:14 on your arm, you need to add 15. Just wait and be still. And God's like, I can't do anything with that. I love how he corrects Moses. He rebukes him. The Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move. Don't wait. Don't just sit there and ask and cry out. Don't just sit there and feel sorry for yourselves. We could have died in Egypt. Did you bring us to the desert to die? No, I brought you to the desert to make you into the person that you're supposed to be. Isn't it amazing that God himself would say, stop praying and start obeying? You know so many times deep down, you know what you need to do. That's the worst. When you could just play like ignorance, God, that's so good. I remember asking Doug when we were on this boat, driving around, I'm like, so what are the rules about this or about that? He's like, well, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it was riding the bikes on the street. What's the laws up here for riding the bikes on the street? Don't know, but I'm pretty sure they could take them away. And I'm pretty sure ignorance don't matter. Like, you don't have to know the law to be ruled by the law. See, so many times we could just play dumb. I didn't know. God, I didn't know. But you know. If you ever aren't sure, the answer is to move. To move. Exodus 13:19. I love this. I think this is so profound. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. Joseph, who was dead, a bag of bones, understood what it meant to move more than they did, who were still living and breathing and kicking and screaming. Moses understood the significance of what it meant to move. Sorry, not Moses, Joseph. And Joseph said, man, even when I'm dead, promise me that you'll take my bones and you'll keep pushing the ball forward. You will keep moving me forward because I don't want to miss out on the plans God has for us as a people. He says, even when I'm dead, he makes an oath with them. Take my bones with you. Prophetic word. Him saying, you got to keep moving because you made an oath that you're at least going to take my dead body with you. Because he knew that they would be terrified and that they would stop in their tracks. He knew that they would give up hope, that they would cry and want to go back to Egypt. That they would choose slavery over freedom because freedom is way more difficult. Freedom requires more from us. Joseph said, take my bones with you. Sometimes I think we can be so paralyzed by this need for safety and security, for assurance. Venturing into the unknown could just look like, no thanks. And we wait and we sit and we pray and we ask and we plead, God, would you just do something? But God is inviting us to be not only people who move, but to become his movement in the world. See, God doesn't just need us to move for our sake so that we can grow into who he designed us to be. He invites us to move together so that we can bring about his kingdom here on earth. That together we would not only move, but we would be the movement of God. And so this morning, as we recalibrate what it means for us to be adventurers, to love adventure or to hate adventure, I pray that we come away from this morning knowing that the adventure itself is going to be difficult. It is going to be troublesome, it is going to be trying, but it will be the formational piece that will allow us to get to the place that God is taking us. And that dream that you have, that thing that you know you need to do, the person that you know you should become, the character piece that you know needs some work, that thing that you need to admit to so that you could find some freedom, the places in your life that you've kept covered up, the moments where you've stopped moving. May we know that the adventure itself is the place where God is going to shape us the most. And this is something else that I know about an adventure. An adventure is way more enjoyable when you suffer together, when you experience it together. Even the good parts of adventure are meaningless when they're experienced alone. I remember I worked in Big Sur. I lived in Big Sur for 3 fire seasons. One of the most beautiful places on earth. And I remember I would go and I would go on my own hikes and I would just at work be going into a fire or doing a thing and just seeing these most beautiful landscapes and remembering, I wish Laura was here. I wish I could share this with someone. And there's something about sharing our adventure with each other that makes it so much more meaningful. And I believe this is how God even feels about us. That God wants us to go on the adventure with him. See, because when we move, when we're walking, when we're going, we're not going it alone. It could even be the cheesy footprints in the sand type thing. Like I looked down and there was just one set of footprints. He'll carry you if he needs you, but he'll make you walk. And I want to close with this in Mark chapter 1. Verse 16, this is for those of you who are planners and plotters, for those of you who got to read Lonely Planet, for those of you who got to have every move charted out and everything known and seen. It's going to be a more uphill battle for you. But this is the way Mark 1:16 says it. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Now, keep in mind, he couldn't Facebook stalk him, couldn't check him out on LinkedIn. I mean, he was God, so he could have known everything, but still, He just saw these dudes over there. And he goes up to them and he says, right now, come and follow me. He says, I will not only invite you to come and follow me, but I will then send you to become fishers of people. And listen to what happened. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Right now. Like, not tomorrow. Not when I get it all figured out. Not when I completely understand the absolute full nature of who God is. Not when I get to the place where I can articulate this theological position or that theological position, or I could debunk that or understand this. It's not in that place. It's now, when Jesus is saying, come and follow me and walk with me. He says when he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. I love this picture. Jesus hadn't walked on water yet, so they didn't think they could either. They didn't just get out of the boat and run after Jesus. No, they dove in and swam. They were so eager to go with God, to walk with him. Jesus was spontaneous. He was about the now, not the then. And what Jesus is inviting us into is to walk with him on a journey. And it is in that journey that he will form us. It is in that journey that he'll shape us and transform us. You don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to have it all together. You don't even have to be good at anything. He just says, come, come, come now. It isn't the place where we need to get things in order. You could give up the Lonely Planet Bible where you get it all figured out. You could give up having to be able to articulate anything specifically. It's just as simple, come and move. And move. And the most beautiful thing is that what Jesus invited us to do was not only to walk with him, but to become his movement. Our destiny, our destination is a recreation, a reconciliation of all things, a new heaven and a new earth where everything is made right, where everything is put into order. There's no more crying, no more fear, no more tears, no more gnashing of teeth. None of that will be part of our future. And we are the ones who get to move towards that future together, ushering it in together. What God calls us into, he leaves us up to. He says, I want to give you a taste of my kingdom, and then I want you to go out and be the ones who make it. Create it. And it is in that journey together that we will sense heaven on earth. It begins now.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.